some things in the Bible that I don't believe that I've ever taught about before. I believe that we are looking at some things that will change our lives and definitely change our fellowship if we would but listen to the Spirit of God. We began a couple of weeks back talking about prayer. That's nothing new. We talk about prayer a great deal. We spent 13 weeks talking about the Lord's Prayer. But now the Lord's taking us to a new dimension, and He's teaching us now about things that hinder our prayer lives. Why are prayers sometimes not answered? And we're starting to look, and last week we looked first, and this week's another time we'll look at it, and we want to find out why sometimes our prayers are not answered. We know that the Lord God encourages us to pray. I think that has to be said before you ever teach anything like this, that God is not looking for reasons not to answer our prayers. He's looking for reasons that He can. And if we'll get ourselves out of the way, He will. And that's what I always want to start this with, is understanding that God is not trying to find some. I believe that He's trying to work things so around that He can answer our prayers. The Bible says that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to give good things to us and to them that ask? So it's necessary to understand that God wants us to pray. He encourages us to pray. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in beginning at verse 13, this is a well-known passage of Scripture. It's right where our nation is today. This is a Scripture for our nation. It's a Scripture right now that we need to heed. We need to look at it and see what God is trying to say to us. And in the 13th verse of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, it says, "If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain," who does it? God does it. Understand that. God is in charge. The devil is not in charge. Say, "The devil is not in charge." "Or if I command the locust to devour the land," who will command the locust to devour the land? God will. Say, "God is in charge. The devil is not in charge." Say it. "Or if I send pestilence among the people and my people," if all these bad things are happening, if all these things are happening, He says, "If my people who are called by my name," how many of you are called Christians? "Who are called by my name, if you'll do this, if you'll humble themselves," you do the humbling. Now, He can't humble you. You don't want Him to humble you. It's a whole lot better if you humble yourselves. "If they humble themselves and pray and do what? And seek my face," not my hand. We pray, and we pray for God's hand. "God, do this for me, and God, do that for me." And He says, "I don't want you seeking my hand, I want you seeking my face. Get to know me like Moses wanted to." He says, "God, I want to, if I'm really your friend, if you really know me by name, let me see your face." They'll humble themselves and seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sin. Then I will heal their land. How many want to see our nation healed? Charlie, you want to see what you're fighting healed? You want to see it fixed? It's going to take prayer, folks. It's going to have prayer that works. Not these silly prayers where we pray for green lights to go through town so that we can go through town and have all green lights, or so that we can have a parking place at the front of the mall. That's not what kind of prayer. Listen, it's prayer that where we begin to proclaim and begin to state things in the spirit realm, and they start happening. Father-type prayers, not children or young men, but father prayers. You fathers in your home, you don't say, will you please go do that. You say it, and it happens. Am I right? It's what it should be. Fathers, speak it. And that's where God wants us coming into. He says, if you'll do this, he'll heal our land. Verse 15, "Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place." You realize that there are times when God's eyes are not attentive? There are times when His ears are not listening? Papa, you know who Papa is, most of you do. He was Judy's granddaddy. He still is, but he's gone on now. 90 years old. Young. 90 years young. Went on to be with the Lord. We'd be sitting in our den, and we'd be talking. And Papa, sometimes he'd say, "Huh?" Or he'd act like he couldn't hear you well. But let me tell you, he heard what he wanted to hear. One day him and Judy was having this little discussion. And they were kind of having a little bit there. And Judy said something about his hearing, and Judy turned from him, had her back to him, walking away. She said in a low voice, "You hear what you want to hear." He said, "That's right." I'm telling you, God is your grandfather too, and he can hear what he wants to hear. And I think that's the way he is a lot of times. A lot of stuff's coming up, and he just doesn't want to. He just filters it out. He says, if you'll turn, pray, humble, seek my face, then I'll hear. Then I'll see. Then I'll heal your land. Verse 16. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. How many want to be in a house where God really is? Are you glad that you're in a house where we can feel the presence of God, where we can worship Him in spirit and in truth? Are you glad that you're in a house where there's a trying to move on in God? Are you glad that you're in a place that God's put you in a house where people are diligently trying to seek the things of God? If you're not, you need to be. Because what we're going to see today is that God doesn't always see, God doesn't always hear our prayers. Now, do you believe that the Lord wants us to mature? Do you believe that He wants you to be perfect? Now that's a little different from some of our way we've been taught. And some, you know, I came to Lafayette and I began to preach how the body of Christ was supposed to come into perfection, and immediately you start hearing this. Well, you can't be perfect. Who does He think He is? Be perfect. But the Lord God said, Jesus Christ said this in Book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. He says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." That's pretty perfect, isn't it? Then, in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, he says this. He says, "You are predestined. You have a destiny." How many's got a destiny? Do you understand that you were born for a destiny? There's something that you were born to do. You're not an accident. God opens and God closes the womb. There's something for you to do here. There's a destiny. He says, "Whom He did predestinate, Him He also did justify. Whom He justified, Him He also did glorify. Whom He glorified, Him He also did. Whom He justified, Him He also did glorify." But I want to go back up one verse. He says, "You're predestined, you're chosen to be conformed to what? The image of Jesus Christ, the firstborn Son." God wants us to change. God wants us to be conformed into His image. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 says that He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until we all come unto the measure and fullness of the body of Christ, the unity of love, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of what? Christ. God wants us to change, folks. God wants us to mature. Listen. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, "Behold, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know this, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." How will the church be when He appears? Like Him. And everybody that has this hope does what? Purifies himself, even as He is pure. I want you to know today, God wants us to mature. And He's not after red light prayers. He's not after parking place prayers. He wants somebody that'll stand up in the earth and declare today righteousness in the land. He wants somebody that'll kick the gates of hell down. That's what the church is supposed to be. That's what it was devised to be. The first mention in the church is Jesus says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We're not escaping. We're overcoming. Gates of hell are coming down. Nothing will destroy hell but the church. And God wants us to come into a place in our prayer life. Not red light prayers or green lights, because we never pray for red lights, do we? And not parking place prayers, but places where we can declare it and it begins to happen. Amen. Eternal prayers. Good. Eternal prayers. God wants us to pray. He wants us to pray, and I've got to make sure I keep going back to this. He's not looking for ways not to answer our prayers. He's looking for ways that He can. The word is filled with "ask me." He says, "Ask me, ask me."
Matthew 7:7 and Luke 11:9 says, ask and it shall be given to you. Matthew 18:19, he says, again I say unto you, that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall what? Ask whatever that you want. And he says, I'll do it for you. John 15:16 says, and whatever you ask of the Father in my name, it shall happen. He will give it to you. I will do it. God encourages us to pray and to ask, but not for red lights and green lights and parking places. He wants us to pray for our land, people. He says, I'm going to be with the Father, and you will do greater things than I. So how in the world can somebody do something greater than Jesus? Well, the Bible never talks about Jesus' shadow healing anybody. The Bible only talks about one person's shadow healing somebody. Who was that person? Peter. Peter. And if Peter's shadow can do it, then my shadow ought to be able to do something. Come on now. Amen? And that's what he wants his church to become. A healing entity in the land today. A balm of Gilead. Preached to you last week, and I showed you, look in Deuteronomy chapter 1. The first time I told you that this whole series began, me and Dr. Cash were sitting up here one morning, 6 o'clock. We were talking about praying. And we were amazed how sometimes prayers are answered so readily by the Lord. And sometimes you can pray them and pray them and pray them and pray them, and they never seem to be answered. That invoked and provoked something in me. I went home and began studying, began looking, and the first time that I find in the Word of God where he says, I won't listen to you, is here in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And I told you last time that the nation of Israel had come to the land of Canaan, the promised land. They were going to go into the promise. They sent 12 spies. 2 came back with a good report. 10 come back with a bad report. Who'd they listen to? The bad report. Listen, they did not go on into their promise. The first reason that you'll find in the Bible that God will not hearken unto you, will not listen to your prayer, is when you stop moving in God. When you stop from being a child to a young man to a father. God wants you to come to fatherhood. But if you want to stop any place, I want to tell you right now, God will stop hearkening to your ear, hearkening to your voice. They come to the land, they would not go into the land. And I gave you 5 tests to see if this was happening in your life. The first thing I told you was there'd be grumbling in the home. See, when you stop, you're going to find something wrong. When you stop moving, you're going to find something wrong with the church. Listen, this church is not dependent upon you finding something wrong with it. Something wrong in this church is not dependent upon you finding it. Let me put it that way. You can find something wrong. Carol Clark still doesn't like the way I button my coat. You can find something wrong, can't you? But when you begin to grumble about it, you're going to stop moving in God. Second thing I told you is you'll start listening to bad reports. Because when you stop moving, you want everybody else to stop moving. And you'll start listening to all that stuff. You'll start listening to all that stuff. And let me tell you something. Listen to a bad report can keep you out of God's best. Will keep you out. Not can. Will keep you out. If you give ear to that stuff, it gets in you. That gives place to the third thing, which is the bees. Remember the bees? Remember the hornets I told you about? God said, I'll turn the bees loose on you. Told you about 8 hornets that got me one time. How my body swole up. I swole up from head to toe. My nose swole. My eyes swole. My throat, my mouth, tongue swole. My ears swole. My hands swole. My feet swole. I swole up. When the bees come on your life, you're going to swell up. Listen, you can't pray because your mouth swole up. You can't. I'm talking in the spirit now. When these bees get after you, when something's on your life and won't leave you alone, you better look and see if it's the bees. Your tongue swells up, your box swells up, your voice box swells up. You can't talk. You can't pray. You can't discern anything. Your nose is swollen. I'm talking spiritual nose. Discernment. You can't discern anything. You can't hear God good because your ears are swelling closed. You can't walk right. Your feet are swole. You can't minister to anybody. Your hands are swole. Bees are turned loose on your life and makes you bitter. Poisons your life. That's the third thing that happens. The fourth thing that happens, I told you, was this. It affects your whole family. One day we're going to realize that what we're doing today has some eternal value to it. What I'm doing today is affecting his life and affecting her life and affecting your children's life. And that is a big difference, folks. We got to start looking into that dimension. When the bees come, it messes up everything. When we stop walking in our purposes, when we rebel against God, then things start happening bad. And the fifth thing that I told you was that you develop a prayer life that's only on emergencies. You're not communing with Father. You're not walking in prayer. You're not praying always. When everything's going bad, oh, let's get serious with God and start praying. How many knows I told you the truth now? Did I tell you the truth last time? All right, that's what. Now, read this scripture in Deuteronomy, and then we're going to number two. I just had to go back through that just to show you where I'm coming from. Verse 45 of Deuteronomy 1. After all these things happened, it says, "Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord did not listen to your voice, nor give ear to you. So you remained in Kadesh many days, the days that you spent there." That's exactly what happens. When you rebel against God and you stop moving from children to young men to fathers, when you stop moving in God's purposes, when you rebel to go on into the land of promise, you'll stay right where you're at. You'll stay there. And God wants us to go on, does He? Does He? Is it true? All right. Second reason I want to give you today, Isaiah chapter 10. Could read the entire passage. Isaiah chapter 1, I'm sorry, verse 10. Tell you before I read verse 10, let's look at verse 5. I want to show you where all this is coming from. It's coming from a sick head and a sick heart, okay? We're going to be reading. Coming from a sick head and a sick heart. The second reason that God will not answer prayers. The second reason that I want to give you that God will not listen and will not look at us and will not minister to us and answer our prayers is when we come and assemble ourselves together in vain. When it doesn't mean anything. We're just doing it in a rope. When we start offering our offerings meaning nothing, when we come here not prepared in our hearts to receive, God will stop answering our prayers. See if it's true. Verse 5, Isaiah 1. Where will you be stricken again? As you continue in your rebellion, the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. Say the whole head is sick. Say the whole heart is faint. Now this headship here can be in a local church. It can be your eldership. When their hearts and their heads get messed up, it's going to affect the whole body. Amen? It can be in your home. Fathers, if you're not in the home right, your heart's messed up and your head's messed up, it's going to affect your whole body, your whole home. It can be in your individual life. If your heart's not right with God, if you're not thinking right about God, your whole body is messed up. Amen? Now then, you can read this yourself, but drop down with me to verse 10. "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah." Now, he's not talking here to literal Sodom and Gomorrah, but he's talking to a people like them, a people that live in idolatry all the week long, live in adultery all the week long, live in immorality all the week long, and then go to church on Sunday, give their tithes, their offerings. "We bring a sacrifice of praise." Come to the house of God, and you're just like Sodom and you're just like Gomorrah. That's who he's talking to here. How many are glad now that this house here is full of people that love God with all their heart, with all their might, with all their strength, with all their soul? And it's full of people that love to dance and praise God and seek God with their heart. How many of you are glad that this is a house like that? Aren't you glad? So I'm wanting to minister this to you, not accusing you of this, but making you very aware of this. Verse 11. "What are your multiplied sacrifices to me?" Notice that it's not just sacrifices, it's multiplied sacrifice, says the Lord. "I have had enough of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs of goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Their incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feast. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them." Verse 15, please pay attention. "So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of bloodshed." Let me tell you what he's saying there now. He says, you come here, you Sodomites and you Gomorrahites. You come to the house of God. You lived all week in your ways, in your idolatry, in your adulterous ways. You come to the house of God and you multiply your sacrifices. We get everybody dancing. Everybody, let's everybody dance. God says, I take no pleasure in that. Goes on and he says,
and you bring your offerings. We give to the poor. We give to the needy. We give to the widower. We give to the North Georgia Christian News. We give to Charlie Wausau. God says, this is an abomination to me. Your heart's not right. That's what he's saying. And please hear me right. I'm not saying this fellowship is that way. This fellowship is not that way. I'm trying to tell you things that we need to be aware of to make sure our hearts don't get this way. We give. This is a good people. This is a people that seeks God. And I'm not wanting to put condemnation on anybody, but I want you to look at our lives to see if maybe this is maybe why God isn't answering our prayer. Listen, you live a life all week long of immorality. You live a life all week long of idolatries. Things coming before God, coming before the house of God, coming before what's really eternal and important. You live a life like that all week long. You come to church. You know what God says when you lift your hands to pray? What will he first do? Turn my eyes from you. Is that what he says there? And he says, and if you multiply your prayers, you come on Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. and Wednesday night and pray from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And you come on Friday mornings at 6 a.m. and you come on Sundays and you pray. You multiply your prayers and you get everybody praying. I will not hearken to you. How many understand that this is more than form? That this is more than learning how to talk in tongues, or learning how to dance before God, or learning how to clap your hands? How many see that it's more than that? God doesn't want a people that just does these things in form. He wants a people that from their heart worship Him. Look with me in the book of Luke chapter 15. Matthew 15. I'm about done. Somebody says, that's the Old Covenant. That's the Old Testament. Yep. You better eat the whole lamb, too. He didn't come to end it. He came to fulfill it. But I'm going to read it to you again in where Jesus said it. I'm going to read it to you again where Jesus said it in the book of Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 7. In chapter 7 of Matthew, he's here talking about the traditions of men. And he says the traditions of men is really what makes the Word of God of none effect. Their precepts, their teachings is what really makes the Word of God of none effect. The Word of God is able to save your soul. But wrong teachings will make it none effective to your soul. Won't change the way you think. Won't change the way you act. Won't change your attitudes against nothing when it's coming with wrong teaching. Verse 7 says this, "You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their," say it, "hearts is far away from me." But in vain, say in vain, in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. Let me tell you what worship has been taught to us as being. We go to church, we get our hymnals out, we sing a hymn or two before the offering and a hymn or two after. And that's our worship service. Am I right? Come on now. Is that the precepts of men? Folks, that's not worship, that's vain. He says, if it's not coming out of your heart, it doesn't mean nothing. He says, you're giving me a lip service, but your heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. Let me tell you what worship is. Worship is when your heart is affixed to the Lord. Worship is when nothing else is before you but God. You have affixed yourself to Him. That's not praise. Praise, the Bible teaches us how to praise God. This church is called the Church at Lafayette Praise Fellowship. That's intentional. We want people to know we praise God here. Listen, the first 30, 45 minutes when you come here is not the things that the preliminaries. That's the main course, folks. If we can't get that right, we can't get none of the rest of it right. Because here's why. What praise does is bring you into worship. He teaches us biblically how to praise God. Does the Bible say, sing unto the Lord a new song? Does He? Does the Bible say, shout unto God with a voice of triumph? Does the Bible say, clap your hands, all you people? Does the Bible say, dance with all of your might? That's how you biblically praise God. It is your body blessing God. It is you bringing your body into the will of the Bible and blessing the Lord. That's what praise is. But that's not worship. Worship is when your heart is fixed on God. Praise brings you to worship. If we can't get the praise right, the worship won't be right. And what praise does is bring you to worship. What worship does is bring you and cultivate your heart and plow your heart up and get you prepared to receive the Word of God, which is able to save your soul. God wants us to mature. He wants us to begin to be productive. Listen, He wants you to be like a tree that's planted by what? The rivers
of living water. And that everything that you put your hand to, what will it do? Prosper. Listen. Perfection. Maturity. I always use the example of the apple. There's an apple that grows on a tree and it becomes red and juicy. I'm talking about a red delicious, okay? I'm not talking about a golden delicious. It's red delicious. And it comes to this point where it's mature. And somebody can take that apple and eat that apple. And it is good, isn't it? But where did it come from? A tree. And you know a tree by its fruit. Good, juicy, mature apple comes off of a good, mature tree. God says, I want you to be like a tree so that you can produce something out of your life that somebody can come and eat and that somebody can come and partake of and that somebody can get some nourishment and some life from. He says, if you're a good tree, you'll produce good fruit. If you're a bad tree, you'll produce corrupt fruit. And your life is producing something. My life is producing something. And it's either bringing death to somebody or life to somebody. How many is hearing me now? You hear me what I'm saying today? Our life has got to be productive. And when we start coming into a place of worship, when we come into this assembly, listen to me, folks. We can't say, well, it's been four songs and 20 minutes. It's time to sit down. It's not time to sit down until we've worshiped God. Amen. We don't need to even think about sitting down until we've fixed our heart on God. He's plowed our heart so that He can give us the grafted Word of God so that He can save my soul. How many, can you hear me now? I want to say this out of my heart because this is my heart's cry. We get upset with this man because he wants us to stay. No, he's trying to get you to worship so God can save your soul. I'm tired. Well, bless your heart. She went to bed early last night. This is important. This is eternal. I'm telling you something that's eternal here. And God wants to answer our prayers. But if we come in here with a bad heart, we come in here with a sick heart, and we come in here, a lot of people come in here with burdens. Come in here with burdens. But the Bible says, cast your care upon Him because He cares for you. That's for praise. Praise is warfare. You can bring down those cares. You can cast your cares upon Him. And you can allow the worship and the fixation of your eyes and your heart upon God. You can open your heart to Him and let Him minister to you. Come in so that He can plant the Word of God into your heart and change you and grow something out of you that somebody can eat, that your children can eat, that other people can eat of, that will bring life to a dry and a barren womb. God help us. How many believe that we encourage biblical praise here? Amen? And praise brings you to worship. And worship tears your heart up so that, plows your heart up so that the Word of God can come into it. What worship will do is circumcise your heart so that you can receive the Word of God. One more scripture, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Could give you Ephesians 5, same passage. I just want to read out of Colossians 3, verse 16. And we're done. I wanted to praise God. I wanted to worship God a little bit before we go home. How many still wants to do that? Amen. See, we need to learn to worship God. Open our heart up so that He can minister to our lives. We come in here with a sick heart and we won't open it up to Him. Nothing's changed and it's vain and your prayers aren't being answered. How many want your prayers answered? Don't you want your prayers answered? See, it's got something to do with how we assemble ourselves together and how we come into worship. And how we biblically come into Him in praise. And how we then open our hearts up and allow Him to come in and minister to our hearts and sing to Him out of our hearts. And this is what I want to read about. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Galatians, Colossians. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. How should it dwell within you? Richly dwell within you. With all wisdom. You know, wisdom comes out of the Word. You know, people don't really have financial problems. They have wisdom problems. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms. What do we sing here? Do you see that? The way you come into worship out of your hearts is by first singing psalms. And then it says hymns. Now hymns, there's the same word. It's a psalm, except it's a different kind of a psalm. It's one that brings it down. When we come here, our form is this. We come in with exuberance and we dance and you have the time and the opportunity to praise God with all of your might. You have the time to do that. And then we bring it down and it comes into the hymn. It comes into the time where it's slowed down, where it brings you into another realm of worshiping Him. Psalms and hymns. And then what does it say? Spiritual songs. Most of you have never experienced that joy. Most of you have never released out of your heart
a spiritual song. What's a spiritual song? It's a song where it comes out of your very heart to God. You just release into Him your praise, your adoration, and your love. You open up your heart and let that song come out. I encourage you folks, if you've never heard anything I said, I pray you hear that. Open up your heart and sing to Him. Sing it out of your spirit to Him. Let Him enjoy the sacrifices of praise out of your heart. Psalms and hymn and spiritual songs is what it says. That's the way you come into worship. Now look, that's the way you come out of into releasing it out of your heart. Teaching one another psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with thankfulness in where? In your hearts to the Lord. Where? In your hearts. Say, I will sing from my heart. Just say it one more time. I will sing from my heart. Nothing blesses God more than that. That's not a burden to Him. That edifies Him. That lifts Him up. That lifts Him up. He wants us to minister to Him. See, it says that it's a burden. He says, you're going to pray. You're going to lift your hands and pray, and I'll turn my face. He says, you're going to multiply your prayers, and I'll not hearken unto you. I won't listen. Why? Because sick hearts make sick heads. We've got to learn to worship God. How many see that? Want your prayer answered? If you want your prayer answered, lift your hand. Say, I want my prayer answered. Say it, I want my prayers answered. I will worship God. Amen. Pastor Tebow, would you all come and just let us have an opportunity now to do what we just said we would do and worship Him. We won't be long. We won't be long. But I encourage you. Don't hinder. Let anyone hinder you.